Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Right, go on then. Tell everyone who we are.
Okay. Hello and welcome to Staying Relevant. We're back, baby!
We haven't been anywhere.
Like we never left.
Well, it's because we didn't leave.
We're here for another episode, or as I like to call
it. As we are every week.
An ep. Pete's going to be drinking.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know that was, that was my cue. I'm not drinking, but I will be swearing. If you don't like that, yourself. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Snappy C, YouTube, all that stuff at Staying Relevant Podcast. Write reviews and do all that shit because we enjoy reading them. Follow us because apparently that's good. I don't know.
We love it when you follow the numbers, the digit, the stats.
Yeah. This is the main episode. So this will be out on Monday. You'll be able to watch this on Friday. We'll also be doing the bonus episode after this, which is going to be out on Thursday, which you'll be able to watch on Sunday on YouTube. So that makes it
Monday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday.
Anyway, shall we just do it?
Let's go.
Let's start with Sam's made an effort today.
I know.
Sam's got a toweling polo on.
Is that what it is?
Yes, with a washed out jean, but the new Russell and Bromleys. So he'll be wearing them for the next 5 to 6 years. The heel hasn't quite worn away yet, although they do need a suede brush across them because they are looking a little bit dusty already.
Pete walked up to me outside and went, oh, someone's made an effort today. And I went, do you know what I have? Zara actually picked this for me today.
Yeah, she just wanted to make sure no one would look at you. Have you got the new belt on?
Mm-mm.
No, he's gone without a belt.
Gone without a belt since you actually ravaged me last time.
Yeah, I mean, it is bad. And he wore an overcoat.
I did. Pete actually went, have you been on this morning? I was like, I haven't. This is just my good time outfit.
Yeah, it's his good time outfit. Right, should we crack on then?
Actually,
another thing before we start. So you may have seen on Instagram, we have announced the third date at the Apollo, which means we are doing a residency at the Apollo. That's what I'm calling it, a residency.
Like Vegas?
Yes, but only for 3 days rather than like a year like Adele or Celine Dion do.
But we will be singing, possibly. I don't know anything about the show, so we might not be.
I was just about to say, unless things have changed, we may or may not be. I cannot give away that information yet. So the first two dates are sold out, and the third one, there is one or two tickets available, potentially. Although saying that, by the time this goes out, there might not be. So if there is...
Well, have a look.
Have a look.
Have a perusal.
Because it will be the last time you get to see us.
Yeah, there is. Pete's notebook is firmly, and I quote, fucking shut. Yes. After this.
This year, we are done. And also, just for those who have been asking about the merch situation, we are in the process of setting up a merch shop.
Yeah, we are. That's a clap, if I've ever heard a clap. Yeah. Merch all year round,
we
baby.
We will be keeping you updated. We're going to add some new bits to the merch, but just for those of you who were unlucky enough not to get a dishy cloth.
Oh, we love it.
Dishy cloths will be available, as will all the other shit.
I have a question.
You don't have to put your hand up. We've been through this now. This is 70-odd episodes. You still don't have to. It's your podcast, mate. You do not need to put your hand
up. Is my dishy cloth sold out?
No.
Is it not? My dishy cloth's not sold out? Oh, so basically, you can still get a dishy cloth, but if you want the Peewix calendar years, you're going to have to wait a little bit.
We are restocking. There's also talk, actually, funny enough, I haven't spoken about this before, but James Rudland, who you know,
yeah,
who actually shot my calendar previously, has come up with some ideas, because we potentially talked about doing the Staying Relevant calendar, but he also thought it might be a good idea to do Peewix the calendar years and bring back 12 shots of my favourite calendar
Oh my God, it's like one of them talking heads on Channel 5. You know, it's like, these are our favourite reality TV moments. And then you talk about them. This is where Pete's going to be like, well, I love this shot because, you know.
No, to actually release a calendar of the 12 best shots over the years.
Pete's best bits.
So the Pete Wicks calendar.
I like that.
Called Pete Wicks calendar years. Anyway, so that's that. I think that's the admin and housekeeping done.
We love a bit of housekeeping as well. A bit of brooming.
Yeah. So we're gonna fly straight into, basically, this is the last episode of the tour.
We're done.
We are done.
This is done.
We are dusted. It is over. Tour one fucking completed it, mate.
If you've listened to some of the podcasts prior, Pete was wearing his AAA Staying Relevant pass all through these few weeks that we've been touring. He is now, we went, where's your pass, Pete? Where is it?
Burnt the fucking thing.
He's burnt it. He has burnt it to say goodbye to the tour forever.
I got back from Dublin and I set up a little bin in my garden and watched it fucking fire into the depths of hell. Never to be seen again. The smell, because it was plastic, was a lot, but yeah, gone forever.
What about the gel? What about the notebook? Is that still kicking about?
It has to be, because I've had to restart on the Apollo thing, and obviously it's got all my stand-up comedy routines in.
Which is something that Pete's going to be releasing very shortly.
We'll get onto that later.
Yeah, keep your eyes and ears peeled.
Well, keep your eyes peeled and your ears.
And pull your ears back.
Or Listen
to what Pete's got to say, because it's going to be fucking huge.
We'll get onto that later. So what we thought we'd do is we'd just run through the last two dates, because they were an interesting pair of dates, I'll be honest with you.
Sick.
We had Plymouth and we had Dublin. Both very interesting places. Plymouth was interesting for a number of reasons, which has gone straight into the vault, so we can't talk about. But Plymouth, let me tell you about Plymouth, because it started terribly. It started really bad.
The train!
Plymouth started badly for Beardy, our wonderful tour manager, because Beardy has been in charge for this entire tour of getting us to places, logistics, just looking after us. He's been tour dad. Well, we sort of tour dad who looks like tour creepy uncle, but he's been great. Plymouth was a struggle because we had to get the train. And originally we had trains booked earlier in the day, but Sam, being Sam, didn't want to get those trains. He wanted to get a later train. So we all tried to get a later train. I, however, missed the fucking train.
It was so good. I've never been so on edge in my life when I'm not the one missing the train. We literally get there. Me, Ted, TV Ted, and Beardy are all sat on the train. And Luke, aka Beardy's sitting there going, he's going to make it. He's going to make it.
Beardy was messaging me nonstop whilst I was in the car. And actually, I'd spent 2 hours trying to get from my house to fucking, where do we go from King's Cross? Paddington.
Yeah. Because Pete was fuming.
Well, there'd been an accident on the North Cirque on the way. And I was literally must have been in front of me. Because you know when the police closed the road? And I was literally just sat there thinking, I'm going to miss this fucking train. So I booked the next train just in case in the car. But then we started getting closer and I thought, oh, this is going to be tight, but I'll make it. I jumped out of the car, ran through Paddington Station, ran with my suitcase, only to miss the train by seconds and watch it pull away from the platform.
Me waving out the window.
As you can imagine, the rage that I felt at the time was a lot. Sam then called me and I went, not fucking now, I'm not in the mood. Sam, I presume, was about to take the piss and then decided, no, now is not the time.
He was fucking fuming. I was going to call him and be like, oh, you fucking bellend. And he literally went, don't you, I'm not in the fucking mood. I went, Pete, it's going to be fine.
And let me tell you why I wasn't in the mood. Because as I was running through Paddington Station, a group of youths...
He has a real history with the youngins.
A group of youths asked for a picture as I was running. And I went, sorry, lads, I can't. I'm about to try and grab this train. So they proceeded to shout in the middle of the station.
Where's your hair at this point as well? Hair all over his face, running for this train, not
sweating,
in a good way.
Running through. And normally I would obviously fucking stop. I'm not rude all the time. I just couldn't, because I thought I was going to actually get a train. Anyway, I thought that would be the end of it. So I went outside and got some fresh air, several cigarettes and whatever else, happy days. Then waited on the platform for the next train. But then what happened was, across from me on the platform opposite was said youths. So they started chanting at me whilst I was stood on platform, to which then everyone is then looking at me, and I had nothing. I mean, I was tempted to run across the platform and karate kick some fucking kids in the face, but I didn't. So I just had to stand there whilst being chanted and then get the train from Plymouth, from Paddington to Plymouth on my own.
I see growth there, though. I see growth, because I feel like old Pete would have been like, you want some? Come on in.
I was very close.
Also, like a wounded animal, apparently Pete was just sat on the platform whilst they were just berating him with his hood up, being like, this isn't me, this isn't me, no one can see me, this is absolutely fine.
And the train journey was eventful in itself, but we won't talk about that. Anyway, got to Plymouth just in time for sound check. I had to go straight to the venue with my cases and everything. Sam was just arriving at the same time, having been to the hotel, had a little beer with Ted, and he was all happy. As I got there, Sam was outside greeting the fans. With pictures and autographs. I was still in the car with my driver who just offered me a carrier bag full of homemade sausages. Not even a joke.
The vegan in Pete was loving that.
That he just got out of his glove box. Anyway, as Sam was greeting the fans, I needed to get in, so I just drove past them and drove through the gate and went round the back.
How bad is that? So literally, Pete's seen the crowd, and he's gone, keep driving.
I just needed a minute. Anyway.
So good, though. Really fucking great start.
So the prep before Plymouth was interesting. I mean, the only way to describe Plymouth is loose.
As a goose.
Loose as a goose.
Yeah, it was great.
It was a fucking weird show, actually, Plymouth. I think because Sam and I knew we'd done the big one at the Palladium that was quite an important fucking one. We'd done the majority of the tour. We were coming towards the end of the tour. So kind of the kind of wheels fell off, I would say, in the last two shows. And it became quite chaotic. The last two shows became very Sam. I think is the best way to describe them. And I was done fighting for structure.
Yeah, so, Pete gave up.
Towards the end, I started to give up and just thought, fucking, let's just go with it.
You know what I love so much about that Plymouth show is that Pete's got a real problem. I keep saying it. Pete's got a real problem with young people. Because Pete's side...
We'll get to that one. Hold on. Because I'll tell you how loose it started is that we get on stage and the first thing Sam did was he ran on stage and he jumped like he normally does and then jumped straight back off the stage and started hugging people in the audience.
Got into the crowd, got into the mix.
Before we'd even said hello, there was a fucking pandemonium going on in the corner because Sam was fucking running around hugging people.
What, tripped her over because she was on the floor?
No, she had him. What had actually happened was Sam ran down. This young girl who I will get to later because she became quite a character during the Plymouth show, let's say. Sam ran down, give her a hug. She then dropped to her knees crying. Not even joking you, in front of me because it was right on my side. And I literally thought, what the fuck is going on here? This is before we'd even said, welcome to Staying Relevant Live.
Yeah, I
thought this is going to be a rogue.
The vibes were immaculate in Plymouth.
This is going to be a rogue.
Can I tell what happened next?
Yes, and said girl then got back to her seat.
Because as
you can imagine, said girl, who was very lovely, looked very, very normal. She then got back to her seat, but obviously a big Sam fan. You know, dropped to her knees, tears. Big Sam fan. Unfortunately for her, she was sat on my side. Not a big Pete fan.
She then spent the rest of the show calling Pete a
She sat on the front row, and just as I was about to say everything, all I could hear was, Pete's a wanker. Every time I was about to say, wanker. That's all I could, to the point where I think at one point I went, doing a show, shut the fuck up.
There was proper beef there between Pete and this, and she was no older than 18. Like, she was young. Mate, she was young. So she had literally, I thought she was like going to be really sweet because when I gave her a hug, she's in tears and she's like, this is the best day ever. And then she obviously just switched. Pete, you're such a prick.
Yeah.
We hate you, Pete. And then Pete started firing back at her in the front row.
Forgetting that I was on stage.
They got everyone to boo her in the fucking auditorium.
Listen, you want to come for me? You forget I got a microphone, bitch.
And then, then halfway through, at half time, Pete came out and went, I'm really struggling with this one at the front.
It was a real struggle for me not to go in.
Security nearly got called.
It was relentless to the point where producer Chaz came out and went, we can have her removed. And I went, look, I don't think it's necessary to have her removed. Beardy then caught me and went, I've heard about the girl in the front row. Do you want me to do something about this? But I thought, no, let her enjoy. She's obviously a big Sam fan, just not a big Pete fan.
So funny.
I was being heckled throughout the entire show. But actually in the second half, she quietened down a bit. So that was that. So that was the start of the show. And it just...
Why do you always have beef with young'uns?
They just don't... Do you know what? They just don't respect me. They just don't respect me.
Pizza prick!
Yeah, it was fucking heavy going. You know what I mean? And what I've learned is that I struggle with a heckler.
Yeah, I've also never seen Pete flustered like that before. He comes off half-time, he's like, I just... really struggling with this front rower. He's like, I just don't know how to handle it.
I mean, it had been a problem because the youth of the day were not good to me. Oh. I've been chanted at and then spent the rest of my actual show being called a wanker by people who were effectively just above an embryo. So it was a fucking struggle for me that day, let me tell you. But things got better. But things got chaotic. We had Seat of Shamer, who was a former stripper. Lovely lady. They were delightful. So we thought, I'll tell you what would be a good idea, and Sam didn't know this, is we would get Sam to do a strip for her so that she could rate it. But what Sam didn't know was that I'd organise music for him. What was the song?
Genuine Pony.
Genuine Pony was played while Sam gave a strip tease to a stripper who was sat in my chair.
An old stripper. No, sorry. Not as in she's not old. She used to be a stripper.
An ex-stripper. Yeah. She then rated Sam on her stripping.
This was tough,
on her stripping skills. I was trying to show Sam backstage what he should be doing.
I'm going
to
be honest with
Sam
you.
Sam did not listen to me.
I fucking went for it.
Sam went for it, but what Sam did was less like a strip dance and more like a fit. There was just a sort of shaking that was just...
Are you joking?
It was very uncoordinated.
You can't tell me that when I started, I didn't go hardcore. No.
You went in hard, it just wasn't ideal.
What do you mean it wasn't ideal?
Well, it looked weird.
You said go for it!
I said go for it, but I kind of meant like sexy.
Well, I don't do sexy, do I?
Well, you could have tried, mate. She then rated it. I said to her, how was that for you? And she went, okay. That's literally the response. Which was a little...
Imagine that.
A little bit of a letdown. But on the plus side, the youth in the front row really enjoyed it.
I was also... I let her do the wheelbarrow.
Were you? I must have blacked out at that point. I don't think it's called the wheelbarrow. I think that's just twerk.
I was just basically twerking on it.
But it was good. It was good. It was fun. There was also a point during the show, that second half, where we did a Q&A. And the Q&A is always loads of fun. It's loads of fun based on the fact that you lot are fucking weird. You can ask anything. And we've had some weird questions.
Yeah.
We've had some really weird questions. One of the questions that we had in Plymouth was, Sam, can we do some body shots off you? So I said... Yeah.
No, see, that's actually fucking wrong. They said, Pete, can we do some body shots off you? Pete then pretended to not hear. And I went, Pete, they want to do body shots off you. And he went, no, I think they said you, mate. And made the poor two girls, which came up, went, no, we didn't. We said, but at this point, I'm on the floor already because I just hate.
Top off.
I just hate. You know when like you have that awkward like, oh no, I think it was Pete. And then Pete's like, I don't want to do it. And so I was just like, fuck it. I'm just a yes man when it comes to these things. I don't want the awkwardness of saying no. So top is off. And I thought when people meant body shots, they just put a shot on you and then do the shot off you, right? That is not what happened. What happened, Pete?
And let me just tell you, it didn't take a lot of convincing. Stripped his top off. He then laid on the floor, legs akimbo, and I poured tequila down his bare chest. Two girls then got on their knees and licked up tequila from his chest like kittens lapping milk. It was a moment to savour.
I panicked at this point because I didn't know that was what the plan was, because I've never had it before and I didn't actually know what a body shot was. Started licking up my chest. I'm like, this is full on. And then when they get to there, you're literally like, moving your head really far back.
I, as you can imagine, really enjoyed myself. But no, it was good. It was really good. And there was a moment with the Seat of Shamer, actually, and I don't know if you know this, where, I mean, she just got a little bit carried away with herself. I don't know what happened or why she thought this would be a good idea, but she poured beer on Sam's head.
Oh, yeah.
No, absolutely no idea why. Yeah. It was a real random moment where Sam went, oh, and then just pushed her through the door.
Again.
But actually, she's been contemplating it since
Shut
then.
Up.
And she has wrote an apology letter.
No way!
To producer Chaz, apologies for pouring beer on your head. So she is sorry.
Yeah, was it? Do you know when you're just like, I just feel like I'm too polite to say anything.
She's very lucky she didn't pour beer on my head, put it that way. There was a lot of bras and pants thrown in Plymouth as well. Yeah. However, it was quite a big theatre, so none of them actually reached the stage. We could tell at the end because there were just sort of men and women just walking around with knickers on their head. It was weird because they just seemed to land on the wrong people, didn't they? It was very, very odd. But it was a good show. It was a bit chaotic, and actually, because it was, you know, our penultimate show, we had a lovely moment. I stopped and started telling people how much I love Sam.
This is one of my favourite bits of the entire tour.
It's one of the most memorable bits of the tour because people always moan that I'm not very nice to Sam, and actually I thought, no, I'm going to take this opportunity to tell fucking everyone how much I love Sam and how proud I am of him and what a wonderful person he is, to the point there was, you know, people in the audience were going, oh.
But it went a bit silent.
Apart from one person.
you know when someone's like spilling their heart out and everyone like gets really into it and everyone's in the moment and it's like the noise has fully come down, right? And then there's this one guy just goes, gay!
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
So another thing that happened in Plymouth, which was a real struggle for me, based on what happened in Manchester when the stage was stormed, we thought we'd had enough of that, but actually Plymouth were flashbacks for me, but this time it could have gone worse because a man stormed the stage in Plymouth at the end and he looked very angry. He ran towards me from one side of the stage to the other, and at that point I started looking around for Beardy, but more so Ben the Carpenter, because he saved me the first time and he is my Kevin Costner. So, but this man looked fucking angry and I thought, my life was flashing before my eyes. I thought, this could be it. This could be the end. I'm not even joking, he ran with purpose, but with a very angry face. And I didn't know what I'd done. I thought maybe he hadn't taken some of the jokes too well. As he got closer, he started screaming incoherently, and I couldn't quite work out what he was saying. But as he got to me, he was grabbed by security and dragged away. And all he wanted to know was where the after party was.
So imagine this. He's getting pulled away going, Pete, where's the after party?
But at this point, I was going,
Stringfellas!
very weird moment. So, yeah, we had our second stage storming. It was just by one happy man with an angry face.
It was really funny.
But it was good. We enjoyed Plymouth. It was another a good one. Now, I specifically wanted Dubbers to be the end of the tour because I fucking love Dublin. I fucking love Ireland and I fucking love Dublin. Anyway, so Dublin, it was serious. This show, it actually meant a lot to me and Sam because it was the final show of our first ever tour. So we went in. We went in.
Guinnesses were drinking.
Well, yeah. I mean, the biggest problem I had with Dublin was I was most excited about the fact that I'd been drinking Guinness for the entire tour. But it was a struggle to actually get like draft Guinness anywhere on the tour. And I was actually having to drink it out of cans, which is not ideal. But once you've had a couple, you don't care. But I thought in Dublin, if I'm going to get it anywhere on fucking draft, it's going to be in Dublin. Nope, fucking can still. They didn't fucking have Guinness on draft in the fucking venue. So that put me in a bad mood.
I'm going to be honest with you. When we turned up to Dublin Stadium, because it's called the National Stadium, Pete actually was very excited because who had boxed there before?
Rocky Marciano had actually boxed there before. So they do a lot of fights, and that's a historic fucking venue. So, but yeah, Dublin went a bit fucking crazy. But everyone went a bit crazy. Chaz was having a gin and tonic before the show. They'd actually taken the scissors off her because she looked a bit funny. So she had to borrow some scissors from somewhere, but they were fabric scissors. So the cue cards that she cuts up for us had a lovely sort of rough edge to them, which I really enjoyed as I just slid them through my hand and gave myself paper cuts. But it went wild. I mean, the first half, I think, went very well. The second half is something I'm not proud of.
The second half was my favourite bit of the entire tour.
It would be, because the second half
chaos.
Genuinely, at one point, I'll tell you how chaotic it was. Sam, out of fucking nowhere, and for no apparent reason, started singing Cher, Do You Believe?
Yeah,
yeah. But absolutely no reason.
You know what it was? It's because I just downed my second Guinness of the night.
And then he just started going, Do you believe in love after love?
And the whole crowd
And then the whole crowd started doing it. And I was just literally midway through, like a segment of the show, thinking, what the fuck?
1,700 souls just handing it, I believe thing inside and saying.
And like for no reason, I just thought, and he kept getting off stage and getting back on again.
Yeah, yeah, just I sat on someone's lap.
He just run down, run off. So actually, I then thought to myself, do you know what? If we're going to do this on this fucking one, fuck it, fuck it. Let's just fucking go for it.
And we did.
So we did. So at one point, even I jumped down. I jumped down off the stage and I sat in the fucking front row and left Sam with the seat of shame on stage.
I panicked at that point.
Sam panicked hard.
Because I didn't
And I could watch him. I was just watching and I went, do you know what? Fuck it, Sam. Crack on.
He went, what? So what's this seat of shame? What did he do? And I literally went, well, because I'm never in charge of the seat of shame.
Sam at this point had thrown cue cards all around the stage. I had no idea what was going on. And he just started wandering around going, well, so he sat in my seat. And I thought, I don't know how long I can make this last because they paid money.
You know,
so I had to jump back on.
You know when you're giving some of the eyes, being like, get the fuck back on stage now. You're doing the thing that I do, which is just jump off and piss around. We sang Britney at one point.
Britney was involved.
Ole, 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 ole.
The crowd randomly just started singing ole.
Because I said they're the best crowd that we've ever seen. They started responding with ole.
So it was very much a to me, to you crowd.
Oh, it was amazing.
So there was a lot of singing.
How good were they though? Come on.
Amazing. Absolutely fucking amazing.
Fucking brilliant.
Yeah,
mate.
Really, really good. It was fucking chaotic. We did the Q&A. The Q&A
was better this time, actually.
It was all right, the Q&A. I can't remember some of the questions because I was kind of flabbergasted by the last one.
Well, there's always, where's the after party, Pete? That's always the first question. Either who's got the bigger cock or where's the after party, Pete? They're always the first questions, no matter where we are.
Yeah, that is true. That is pretty much what it is. But then I was blindsided by one of the weirdest questions we've had on tour, which is from a gentleman at the back.
Oh my God, yeah. Oh my God, I forgot about him.
And the question was, Pete, do you prefer eating arse or pussy?
You know, when someone panics.
He then turned round and showed me his arse.
And he was at the proper back of the stadium bit as well. So he was like well back.
Yeah.
And then Luke, the beardy, the guy with the mic, was like, oh.
So that was an interesting one. But yeah, it all went a bit mad. Yeah, it just went a bit mad. And actually, we changed the song because at the end of this tour, there was a song, which we're going to get onto the forfeit in a minute because I have a few fucking bones to pick. But yeah, so at the end, there's normally a bit of a sing song. We changed it for Dublin because we actually changed it to Living on a Prayer. And let me tell you, that went down well. Living on a Prayer went down really, really yep. well. It went down so well that Chaz came out for a little dance. Beardy, who bought the Q&A microphone with him on stage, decided that he would sing with me, but unfortunately his mic had been turned off. So what Beardy actually did then was look to Pietro, our wonderful sound guy, and went, go on, mic on. Yeah, it was big. It was a big finish. We fucking loved it, and that was the end of the tour.
I ripped my buttons open.
Sam ripped his own buttons on his own shirt.
You know when you just go for it? I was feeling it. He was then wandering around
just fucking bare-chested at that point. We then went outside when we finished the show on a bit of a high, and Sam went, oh, well, that wasn't worth it.
Yeah, it was my favourite shirt. It was
his favourite shirt. But yeah, and for anyone that hasn't seen the show, and those of you who did, you'll know that at the end of the show, what happens is there's a forfeit because we ask people to vote for who's the most relevant throughout the show. And the loser then has to do forfeit. And the forfeit throughout the show has been the loser will have to sing. It's because, you know, people vote throughout the whole thing. I did develop a complex towards the end of the show because I lost a 9 out of 9. So Sam had won every single night. And I did think to myself, listen, we all knew Sam was going to win. He's fucking king of the jungle. Who's the most relevant is Sam. But I did think I might win one. I just won, maybe. But no, it turns out I won none. The next day in Dublin, I went on a pub crawl the next day with Beardy and Ted, who have been part of this tour from the beginning. And we were discussing everything and, you know, the drinks were flowing and people started giving me some insight into what actually was going on with the tour. The tour that I had spent a long time trying to make as good as possible and didn't want other people to, you know, mess up. As it turns out, I didn't know fuck all about my own tour.
And there were snakes inside.
There was mutiny in the camp because some shit was going on that I had no idea about. Because what was happening, Sam? So if you're not at the tour, what happens is there are ballot boxes.
We can explain now, can't we?
Yeah, there's ballot boxes. And then at the start of the tour, I say to everyone, look, so at the end of the night, there's going to be a forfeit. One of us is going to have to do this forfeit. So we need you to vote for who is the most relevant out of Sam and I. So do it at half time, do it when you get your drinks. Just fucking go vote. And then whoever loses will do this forfeit. And the forfeit was to fucking sing in front of everyone. Something that I really didn't want to do. To the point where when we were doing a heavy amount of shows towards the start, I'd lost my voice.
It is very croaky.
I was in pain. All right, I was in pain. And I lost every single night. I was voted the least relevant every single night. Didn't win one. So I thought.
The point where Pete's coming up to me being like, I just don't understand, mate. Like, I just don't get it. Like, what the fuck's going on? I'm going to come clean it. At the very, very first show, I went up to Luke, a.k.a. Beardy, and I went, mate, we all know what's going to happen here. There's going to be the reverse Uno card. Everyone's going to vote Pete for being the most relevant, right? So we need to fudge it so that Pete loses every single night. So the stats in reality were that Pete won every single evening. Pete had to sing every single evening, even though he won every time.
Well, you say that, and then I said to Beardy, what actually happened? He went, I mean, you won the first four quite convincingly. So we just stopped counting. They didn't even count them in the end. They didn't even count them. Said you were quite convincing of it, so we just stopped counting. So I said, so there was no point then, was there? He went, no. And to the point where, when we were announcing on stage, and Sam's the most relevant again, some of the audience were going, huh?
Yeah, I know. It actually got to the point where I was a little bit, oh no, this is so obvious. It was brilliant. They had to be the thing.
Let me carry it on, despite me feeling ill, my voice going, these fucking pricks made me sing Sweet Fucking Caroline, fucking Proclaimers, I Will Walk 500 Miles and Living on a Prayer over and over again.
And I'm going to be honest with you, the tune never got better.
I cannot say, I was 3 seconds late to every line.
Mate, it was like,
by the time I'd got to Tommy, he was already on the dock. It was Living on a Prayer, it was a struggle. It was honestly.
Mate, do you know what? There are TikTok, I implore you, if you're listening to this, there are TikToks, right? Type in Staying Relevant Live Tour. There are TikToks of Pete looking at the screen, trying to read the words, and being so out of tune and so out of time.
Let me tell you, the worst was in Scotland.
Yeah,
because we changed the song for Scotland to "I Will Walk 500 Miles," and what I realised is that I only know that line. And then it got to the point where I was literally just stood in the corner, just reading off the thing, and was still 3 seconds late for everything. Like, honestly, it was a lot. So I got fucked over completely by all of you. So thank you, you bunch of dickheads. Pub Crawl was the day after, which was an amazing day. Me, Sam was supposed to come. He couldn't because he had work. So me, Beardy and Ted went on a pub crawl. It was fucking eventful. And I'll tell you why it was eventful, because Beardy's a fucking weirdo. That's how we're going to start this. We just decided we're going on a pub crawl, but Beardy is known as Pickle Boy. Beardy is known as Beardy and Pickle Boy. He's known as Pickle Boy because he's got a fascination with pickled eggs. It's a weird fascination that none of us really understood, but he used to sell them in a pub, and we actually won an award for selling the most pickled eggs in the UK. Very weird, but we don't understand. He actually came on stage at the end of Dublin with pickled eggs for me and Sam, as if we were going to do them.
Like, that was weird. He brought them in a shot glass. I was like, what the fuck? He'd get off stage.
Like a big celebration. And we went, no. But pub crawl day, I was very excited about. I said to Ted and Billy, have a fucking lay-in, all right? Get yourself some fucking rest, because tomorrow we're going to go...
I was there for this. Gave him a team talk.
We're going to go fucking large. We are starting about 12:30.
I was really gutted. This is the one thing, because I don't normally go out like that much. And this is one thing that I was actually super gutted I was going to be missing, because there was just the way Pete was explaining how it was going to work, you knew it was going to be a fucking big one. And we had TV Ted, who was shitting himself beforehand. And Luke was ready, actually.
Luke was so ready for it. When we got downstairs and I met him in the hotel lobby, I said, boys, are you ready for this? And he went, yep. Ted was fucking bouncing, happy days, but they're both like, we need to eat. Can we eat first? I went, yeah, we can eat. Beardy had a bag with him. And I went, why have you brought a bag on a pub crawl? What the fuck have you got in that? He literally had this little tote bag and he went, eggs, mate. I went, what? He went, eggs. And then put it back in the bag as if that was a completely normal thing. On the pub crawl, Beardy bought his own jar of pickled eggs out.
Fucking weird.
So we go to the first pub and I say, right, fucking let's have a Guinness. We split the G and fucking that was that. They then start looking for places to eat. Couldn't find anywhere necessarily nice. And then Ted, and I said, look, you know, lunch is on me, boys. Ted then very quickly found the Ivy.
Yeah.
Very, very quickly. So I said, all right, we'll go to the Ivy. So we went to the Ivy, but we had to stop in the pubs on the way for me to have Guinness because I wasn't really that fussed about eating because I was just in drink mode.
It's a pub crawl though, isn't it?
Yeah. We get to the Ivy. Beardy hadn't been in the Ivy before, so he was really excited about it. He ordered something which he called the robot chicken. So he actually ordered with the waiter robot chicken. The waiter wasn't entirely sure what that meant. We had an espresso martini because we were being civilised. And then we moved on. We moved on from the Ivy. Ivy was good. We moved on. I had to go buy some cigarettes and we went to another pub. I went straight into the pub after I bought cigarettes. Right, we'll have fucking three Guinness, three baby Guinness. Let's go. Went to get my card out and couldn't find it. I went back outside because I thought maybe I've dropped it. As I went to buy cigarettes, I then walked up and down the road. A man came out of a bar there and said, have you lost something? And I said, yeah, I think I've lost my wallet. Has anyone handed it in? He went, mate, you've been dipped.
Don't even know what dip means.
He said, oh, you've been dipped. I went, what do you mean I've been dipped? And he said, we've just called the police. Four people have had their wallets pickpocketed in the past 2 hours. I got pickpocketed 2 hours into our pub crawl.
On a Wednesday afternoon?
On a Wednesday afternoon in Dublin, which wasn't ideal. That led to panic. On the pub crawl because Ted and Beardy and I, we just didn't know what the fuck was going to happen. I had no fucking
Pete
money.
Actually, you know it's panic because Pete called me. I was back in London at this point. Pete's called me and been like, man, I don't know what to do. He's like, I've been pickpocketed. And he went,
So I have a, if for anyone that doesn't know me, well, which is most of you.
But
for those that do know me, I do not like to not have, to be able to,
Pete's a weird bloke. Pete will wrestle you to the ground before you pay a bill. I don't know. It's a complex he's got. He has to be the one who pays. Look, it's not a bad thing for the people who are out with him. We love it. But it gets to the point where, like, he actually finds it really uncomfortable. He really doesn't like it. So he calls me and he goes, mate, I've been pickpocketed. He's like, you know what I'm like? I have to pay for things. So he went, I've just transferred money into Ted's account. And so I'm in charge still. So he's now sending Ted, as if Ted's his card, up to the bar going, Ted, we'll get another three Guinness, please, mate. As if Ted's his card from his bank because he's put thousands of pounds into his account.
So Ted became the treasurer. Treasure of the pub crawl. But obviously I forget. So we you know, and people in Ireland are very, very friendly. So we're on this pub crawl and it was fucking great. But then I'd forget. So I'd be randomly meeting people and talking to people going, I'll get the fucking drinks. Don't worry.
Then you've got to go to Ted.
And then I go, Ted, get the drinks. So then I spent the entire night going, just so you know, it is my money. Like, I'm not just like abusing him and making him pay for everything. Like, because I felt really bad. Because I was going, Ted, get the drinks in. And this is after I'm telling people that I'm going to buy him a drink. And it looked like I was sending my servant. And I felt really bad. And I kept going to Ted, I'm so sorry, mate. Really, really sorry. And he was fun. Then it got weird. And then there was a pickled egg eating competition in a bar that Beardy went through. And we actually got rid of 30 pickled eggs in 15 minutes.
That's wild.
Because we had the entire bar eating pickled eggs, timing them. And fucking, it was fucking weird.
Do you know a girl called Gemma and Amy in brackets?
No. Should I?
You're obviously steaming because we've received this. Who else would be in the Temple Bar pub with a pint other than Peter James Jonathan Joseph Wicks? This is now where things started to become fucking weird. Very fucking weird. A man with the most perfect beard, who I can only assume was Beardy from your podcast, walked over to the table, placed a shot glass. Why does he always put a shot glass of an egg in it?
Because you have to put it on something. And well, by the way, with his jar, he bought his own scoop. It's a specific egg
Jesus
scoop.
Christ. A man with the most perfect beard, Beardy, walked over to the table, placed a shot glass with an egg on top of it and shouted, Pete, these girls have one. Before we knew it, the Peter James Jonathan Wicks was at our table telling us we needed to eat the pickled egg and that he was going to film us to send to his friend. Just to make sure you all aware, he did ask for consent, the nicest bloke there is. There we were, with our pint, a pickled egg, and a bright light and a camera in our faces. We couldn't now back out and say we weren't going to eat it. I can hand on heart say this was equally one of the best, worst, and weirdest experiences of my life, in brackets, beside the part where Pete convinced me that he had his hat on because his hair was in fact a wig and he needed to hold it down. Forgive me for being gullible. I was several pints deep at this point. Gemma and Amy.
Gemma and Amy. Thank you for that. And I think I do remember you. I think one is blonde and one is brunette, and they were sat in the corner because at the time, I think they were watching me video an American family eating pickled eggs in the middle, who were actually from Colorado, where we're going.
Oh, I do just want to add into this entire thing, something did happen to me, actually, which was really a big moment in my day. Pete called me and said that he missed me. He was a bit pissed and he went, mate, it's not the same without you out here. I really miss you.
I knew you'd hang
just
on
let
to
that hang for a little bit.
You're such a fucking creep.
And I literally put it on speaker and went, Sarah, fucking come here. I was like, listen to this. He's pissed and he's talking about his feelings.
I did. I did, because we had such a great day and I just thought in the height of the way it was in the pub with the whole pickled egg, because we literally had, I mean, at one point, we had maybe 30 people with us in the pub, all fucking drinking, fucking the shots were fucking going in, and we'd created a little group. We'd taken over part of the pub, and I thought Sam would love this, because I know Sam would have them all singing Everybody in Love.
Yeah.
At some point, I just knew. But yeah, we had a whole point. To the point where we had to move on from there, and we actually took a few people with us.
And there was a crowd!
We became the Pied Piper of pickled eggs.
On a Wednesday, remember that? Not even on a weekend!
So we took a few people with us. But it was a good night. But let me tell you about the morning after, because the morning after was a fucking struggle. We got up, we had to catch a flight, me, Ted and Beardy, and we did not speak from the moment we met in the hotel lobby to the moment that we got on our flights at all. There was not one word. Apart from the odd, not good. Not good. The moment that I felt rough, and the moment that I felt most rough was when we got the cab from the hotel to the airport with what I can only describe as the most cliche taxi journey of my life. The reason being is that the taxi driver was called Paddy. And what he played from the hotel to the airport for half an hour was Ronan Keating's Greatest Hits. I was sat in the back of a cab thinking, it could only happen to me. Paddy is a Ronan Keating fan whilst driving me to Dublin Airport.
Do you know what's wild about that? I was with Ronan Keating yesterday and we spoke about you.
Why?
Because I was like, because he had mates who were in Dublin who asked him to ask me to get tickets to our tour.
What?
Yeah, because Ronan works in the same building. I was doing this video with him on Magic, and he literally went, yeah, how's your podcast all with Pete? I went, what? How the fuck do you know about that? And he went, yeah, loads of people in Dublin were asking me if I could ask you for tickets. They're in love with Pete. What? How things go full circle like that?
Life's a roller
coaster. We're fucking relevant, motherfuckers. That's the most relevant thing in the entire world.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate that.
How relevant's that?
I know. It's fucking mad. Mad. Life is a roller coaster.
You just gotta ride it.
Okay. Yeah, you do. Anyway, that's the end of the tour. That was it. Fucking job done. Never again till September. All I'm going to say on this is that we had the best time. It is now over and we are semi-thankful based on the fact that it was getting... It's a lot, isn't it?
I nearly cried at the end.
It's emotional roller coaster, literally. But we loved it. We loved every minute of it. Hopefully no one in here is going to call me gay, but I wouldn't want to do that with anyone other than Sam. And the show doesn't fucking work without Sam and he makes it for me. So I am so happy to have done it. I'm so glad it's finished. Let's get back to normal. End of. Off we fuck. Subscribe to all that crap. Ta-da.
Life is a roller coaster. You've just got to ride it.
Okay, we're really pushing that joke now. If you didn't laugh at it the first time, you're probably going to hate it the fourth time.
We don't want to leave. We're not going to leave this podcast. We're just going to keep it going. For you, the listener.
Ta-da.
Staying Relevant was an Insanity Studios production.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.